Hello and welcome to Worldwide Technology's Tech17 podcast, where we dive headfirst into some of the most pressing issues facing organizations today and how they can be solved by using technology. Joining me in studio is Yvonne Wintersteiger and Sean Sullivan, who both work on our Global Engineering Digital Workspace team. And today we're talking about Windows 10 migration. Of mounting concerns, we approach the critical January 2020 cutoff for Windows 7 migration, and Workspace ONE, VMware's unified endpoint management platform that enables modern management of apps across any device at any time from anywhere in the world. We're broadcasting today from Worldwide Technology's global headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri, a place we affectionately call Silicon Valley in St. Louis, and this marks the 50th episode of Tech17, so it's a special episode for us. Yvonne, Sean, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks a lot. Great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great to be here as well.
For sure. We'll get to Workspace ONE a bit in a second and tie it into Windows 10, but let's start with Windows 7. If you're an organization still running Windows 7, you have some very important decisions to make and not a lot of time to make them. As mentioned, Microsoft is ending support for Windows 7 on January 14th, 2020. After that date, Microsoft will no longer be delivering security updates, and most third-party vendors are likely to have dropped support as well, which means if you're not migrated to Windows 10 right now, you're going to be in a precarious position pretty soon. Sean, maybe talk a little bit about the repercussions of missing that deadline and what organizations will be facing.
Yeah, so organizations have a decision to make right now. Either they are going to try to get all their devices migrated by January 14th, or they're already starting a 2020 plan. So the cost of support will go up substantially. Organizations will not be able to take advantage of modern management, and user devices will have vulnerabilities with regards to security. Best practices are that you should have been doing this for the past 3 years, which if you're in this spot now, it's not a problem at all. We can certainly help there, but there's just those few options, and you know, we can help with both. Either one is a good way to go.
Maybe just to add to this, so beyond just that issues that Sean described, you're also missing an opportunity to actually manage these Windows 10 devices or newer devices a new way. We call it modern management, and that's really where a lot of the customers are actually going to. So that's another, in a sense, negative if you don't necessarily move to Win 10.
Given those consequences and the nature of deadlines, there are plenty of organizations scrambling to migrate today, but there are a lot of moving pieces to it, which creates a tremendous amount of complexity for them. Talk about why it's so challenging for companies to make this migration.
Well, if you look at it, any kind of migration as a whole, it's actually a change, and change is usually by default very hard for organization to do. And a lot of organizations are actually struggling with actually not having enough people in time, i.e. lack of resources. And then on top of this, we're changing the way their users' computers or devices work. And that's a disruption, right? And then there's a downtime associated with a lot of this. And that all creates a lot of, in a sense, risk for organization that they're trying to figure out. On top of this, it's moving from one operating system to another. And a lot of the applications, especially for large organizations, are having to be almost rewritten because they are not supported on this new modern desktop or an operating system called Windows 10. So this is another component that's actually slowing things down. But ultimately, we're dealing with just how do we actually deal with all those risks associated with a change.
One thing I would like to add is the help desk activity. You know, just the start menu going from circle to square will create an unbelievable amount of activity. And, you know, the biggest question customers have for us, the number one question is, how fast can you go? How many devices can you migrate a day, et cetera? Our answer is, how fast, or what is your ability to handle or to accept change? So we'll go as fast as you want to. It's really not an issue on our end. It's more the resourcing on your side.
So most companies are certainly going to know that they need to make the migration to Windows 10. What are some of the key benefits and outcomes that organizations will realize upon migrating?
Three things really stick out in my mind: speed and user experience and security. So from a speed standpoint, Windows 10 streamlines the overall startup experience by cutting down on bloatware and unnecessary startup processes. So it is the fastest operating system on the planet. From an end user experience standpoint, I think it's no secret that we all are very involved in a tablet and smartphone driven society. The touchscreen functionality is more apparent than ever. And what Windows 10 is allows users to continue the intuitive experience on their desktops and laptops. So really, whichever vertical you think, healthcare, retail, manufacturing, it really doesn't stop at any of those verticals. It's an agnostic feature. And from a security standpoint, a few exciting features of Windows 10 are Secure Boot, Device Guard, Credential Guard, and Windows Hello. The most important out of these features is Secure Boot. And what this is basically any program running within the operating system has to be pre-approved by Microsoft or the original equipment manufacturer, OEM. What this does, it basically makes devices tamper-proof.
What are we doing to make things easier on customers? We have a product called CP Migrator. Let's talk about that a little bit and what the benefits are, business outcomes achieved by it.
Yeah, so CP Migrator is a product that we developed back in the XP to 7 days. It stands for Complete Profile Migrator, and what it was designed to do is to accelerate operating system deployments and Windows migrations. So it's a software that makes it easy for organizations of any size to migrate to Windows 10 independently without disrupting their workforce or operations. We've migrated over 1 million devices with the tool to date, and the one thing that really sticks out from a competitive advantage standpoint is that the data stays resident to the machine. You're not copying user profiles and user data back and forth across the network. So that really enables us to speed up the migration, reduce risk, reduce costs, increase efficiencies, and ultimately it enables users to migrate offline for those low bandwidth locations.
So let's bring back Workspace ONE, the VMware unified endpoint management platform. As organizations become more global, more dispersed, and as employees are using a greater number of devices, I mean, look right here on this table, we're using phones, computers, tablets, just to do this single podcast. There becomes more devices to manage. It becomes harder for organizations to manage it all seamlessly. And this is where Workspace ONE comes in, right?
Yeah, that is correct. And let me tie this in a little bit more with why this is also important from a Windows perspective. We just talked about moving from Windows 7 to Windows 10. This is great. We can help our customers with that. But the problem then is what happens then, right? And this is where this unified endpoint management story comes into play, right? Because you're not just dealing anymore now with just Windows devices. Modern workforce demands actually variety of different devices people want to use. And it's all about now becoming about end user experience. This is becoming a key, right? Especially in the markets that we have today, they are pretty tight in a sense, right? So a lot of companies are fighting for the resources, and not just the resources, but the good resources. And that's really where this again comes into play. So if you look at that from that angle, right, unified endpoint management and user enablement is the key. And Workspace ONE really, out of the holistic market, if you look at it from different OEMs out there, stands out as the leader in the market and really brings that story together, in my opinion, the best, right? And I guess I don't know if this is a testament of this, but our internal IT actually selected the same platform for our users, so really brings that story together well.
Yeah, that's an interesting case. So our own internal IT faced the same challenges that many organizations do. We're struggling to provide end users a great experience. The rest of the 5,000 employees that we have, we're all working with how many, who knows how many devices, and we're struggling to manage it all. So we incorporated Workspace ONE into our own, and from there we were able to offer not only a unified experience, but a more seamless experience to use whatever app we wanted at any time.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So the front end really looks like an app store, like a corporate app store, and that's the idea, right? Doesn't matter which device user picks up. They know to go to that app store, and all the apps that they need to do their job are all there, right? And the system is smart enough to know which device you picked up, and it serves up that particular OS applications and that you need to use. So it's really seamless for user. It's one place to go. And really, that's what enables the user. If you think about it, user doesn't necessarily care, you know, what kind of device they have. They just want to get their job done. And really, application is at the core of that. And so if you serve up those apps easy and seamless to the user, they can get their job anywhere, anytime. And that's really the premise of this. And ultimately, that's really, if you look at from WBT perspective, we have a global force that actually rarely makes it into the office, if you think of that. And so really, how do you make sure all these devices are enabled properly and, more importantly, even secured? We haven't even talked about that, right? But that's a second part of this discussion. But really, that's one of the main reasons why we chose that solution, because, again, of our diversity of the workforce.
And we've brought in our own security partner, Tanium, to help out in that security part as well, right?
Correct. So we actually are working with Tanium and with Workspace ONE, kind of a better together story. It depends. Every user, every customer is going to be a different when it comes to looking at that. We have to be there to kind of help them navigate that, because there's definitely some overlaps in the story there, but each product shines on its own way. And really, as our internal, if you look at our internal IT, they're actually using both products as well, right? So really, it varies on a customer of how we would implement this, but that is exactly what it is. Yeah, we're using both.
Let's go back to the WWT use case here. Can we talk a little bit about some of the business outcomes that we've been able to achieve since we've launched Workspace ONE internally?
I guess quick note here for me would be being able to go to one place for all the applications, as I mentioned earlier. That actually is very helpful from an internal IT perspective. They actually they reduced the complexity for themselves, and they have less tools to worry about. And that's really the ease of management is another piece that they have achieved. So you're looking at that from two different angles. One is enabling and securing the users and their devices and the data, and the other one is really how do you enable your IT staff to really be more efficient and your help desk staff to be more efficient. And in our case, one of the big ROIs was achieved through self-provisioning, in a sense. So Workspace ONE as a platform allows users to self-provision their devices. Just like when you buy a mobile device in a store, right? Nobody comes with you to help you configure a device. You do it yourself. That's the premise of this, right? So guess what that's doing to our help desk? It's eliminating a lot of overhead and imaging, shipping things around. All gone, right? That's really big savings for our organization. And again, reduction of the tools. So again, savings there as well.
So we're talking a lot about end user experience. Why is that important to organizations?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier a little bit that the market, labor market is pretty tight these days. And so the companies are fighting over the talent, in a sense, and retention of that talent. And then if you look at the new demographics of workers and users within the company, they're getting younger and younger with different expectations. And for most people, millennials come to mind as an overused group of people that's been studied probably the most. But if you look at that, you know, they are actually more likely to quit their job over a not-so-good experience that the company is providing. And really, you might ask, so what? I'll hire somebody else. But the problem is that's actually costly. Some of the statistics say that it's close to 33% of annual salary to replace somebody. So then you can kind of see quickly how that adds up. Plus, as I mentioned, shortage of labor, you might not have a good candidate out there to actually hire. So really, that's why this is becoming very much important conversations, not just for the IT, but for HR. Another piece is actually enablement of these users. So on a positive side, if you provide a good user experience, ultimately, workers are more eager to work and they're more productive, which means more money for the organization in a sense. So this is a positive thing to this. So those are the major drivers actually that you see in the world or within corporate world, right? Why the user experience is becoming such a hot topic for organizations.
It's easy to understand the benefits of migrating to Windows 10, and we can personally, tangibly see the benefits of using Workspace ONE, but it's still kind of a complex scenario here that needs to be tied together. So how is Worldwide making sense of it all, and how are we approaching customers to help them with these migrations?
Yeah, so this is a great question and something that we usually talk a lot to our customers and to our partners as well. As we talked earlier, we mentioned CP Migrate and migrations to Windows 10. This is the, in a sense, a requirement for unified endpoint management, and that's the start for a lot of the conversations. But then once you get there, what do? You do actually Workspace ONE, unified endpoint management. You start actually bringing the whole platform that it brings, right, which also includes things such as virtual desktops, virtual applications, identity management, all that kind of stuff to truly make the user experience possible. And then we layer a lot of this stuff with our usual suspects, how I call them. In this case, I mean our Advanced Technology Center, right? This is where we have a full-blown Workspace ONE environment running. We have CP Migrate running. Some of these environments actually help us with customer conversations where they really want to see what we're talking about. And once they do, usually they're all excited and ready to roll. And then another piece is if you talk about devices, you talk about applications, especially devices in this case, we also have integration centers throughout the world, right, where we can actually take and help companies pre-stage some of these devices or even do kitting where you can put together multiple devices upon a new hire and automate this whole process for them. So really streamlines that, again, user experience just as you start. So the first impressions are always good and important. And then finally, you have a whole thing about applications development. And really, since applications at the core of productivity for user, how do you create the new applications? How do you serve them up properly? And again, use our dev shop, in a sense, to help customers with some of the business challenges to writing applications or whatever that looks like. So really, that whole thing kind of fits together around Workspace ONE nicely. And that's the story that we tell our customers and help them on that journey for them to get to the new modern way of managing devices and the new user experience.
Okay, well, great stuff from both of you. This wraps this edition of Tech17, again, our 50th episode, so that's fantastic. Thanks to both my guests, Savan and Sean, for making time out of their busy schedules to join us today, as well as our producer, John Knobloch, for helping us on the back end. We're always appreciative of our listeners for downloading and listening. And if you haven't already, please do subscribe to our podcast here so you're in the know when new episodes are released.